Remember me with real sincerity. Remember me all my he was. Remember me all my. I come to thee, Oh, come believing, come with faith, come expecting all my he want. Believe him, children, and all will be well. Almighty One, oh precious Jesus, you promised, Lord, we come to you believing we will not go away empty. We come sincere. We come, Lord, believing this morning. We come praising you and thanking you, dear God, acknowledging that you are the only true and living God, and beside you there is none other. And oh God, we come to worship you today, knowing, oh God, that you are the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth. Oh God, you are the one who is alive and was dead, but is alive forevermore, oh God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are the one who have the keys of hell and death and the grave, oh God. You are the victorious one, the mighty conqueror, who conquered both worlds, seen and unseen. Into thy presence we come this morning, so thankful for the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Confessing our sins, confessing our iniquities, all our transgressions, oh God. Acknowledging how unworthy we are. But Lord, yet we are so thankful, oh God, for the grace with which you have shown unto us. And as we come into our presence this morning, to make our petition known unto thee, O God. Heavenly Father, we say, remember me, Lord. Lord, we're standing in the need of prayer this morning, and we are pleading our grace and our precious blood, O God, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will sweep out over this congregation, and you will touch your needy children, Lord. Many are sick and needing their bodies. Many have domestic problems. Many have spiritual problems, O God. Some, oh God, is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, seeking the divine revelation of the Word of God. Some, Lord, want another touch, Lord. Some need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But, oh God, we are all needing Him somewhere this morning. But we look unto you, who said you shall supply our needs, even according to your riches and glory. Oh, gracious God, we pray, Lord, that your great sufficiency, Lord, will flow out to everyone that is standing and believing this morning, Lord. We are reaching forth as your Spirit passed by. Oh, come by here, Lord. Come by here. Lord God, I pray that there will not be one, Father, but that is believing you this morning, expecting to receive, looking unto you, knowing in our own self we are nothing. We are insufficient. We are incapable, oh God. Father, but you are more than able. Oh, our God is able. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, may you touch them, Lord. And may you make them whole. Even Lord, Sister Andrew Brown, little baby, oh God. With that scabby, the child is not here. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we remember in the Bible, you said you sent forth your word and you heal them, oh God. You are the same yesterday and today and forever.
And as your representative, Father, I send forth the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this word of promise go forth on the wings of the dove, the blessed Holy Spirit, the enforcer of the promise, the one who can bring it to pass, O God. Lord God, may go to that child, O God. And Lord, may you enforce a rightful condition of restoration. May that child be delivered from the affliction in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, may you touch and make a well for thy honor and for thy glory, we pray, Father. And all them that stand in here believing, oh God, may from the greatest to the least, they receive their petition from thy great mighty hands of love this morning. Oh God, may you grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, our sister Verona Edwards, Lord God, may you touch her. May you make her well this morning for the glory of God. We are so thankful that we have a God like you. We are so thankful that you care for us. We are so thankful that we can come into your presence. We are so thankful, Lord, you are the high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We lift our hands to thee, Lamb of God, and we thank you with grateful hearts, knowing that you hear us, Lord. Oh, God, you are a prayer-answering God. Blessed be your name. We love you and we appreciate you, Lord. Oh, God, truly thou art worthy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Dear God, even as we have gathered here to hear our word, oh, God, waiting to hear that voice that would speak from the excellent glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that we might be our witnesses even this morning right here of his majesty. Oh, God, let the Holy Ghost so move in this place, move in the word. Let the word be so quick and inspired. May it create such faith as it would strike our souls. May our minds be the channel of the Holy Spirit that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh, God, may faith come by hearing and hearing by the word today, Lord. Bless the preaching of thy word and the hearing of thy word. May, oh God, our church be closer drawn to thee for a closer walk, for a more surrendered life. Oh, God, we can rise on the wings of faith this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your visitation. We now await divine leadership and direction all we will change through. May it bring glory to your name and assistance to your people, Father. We commit everything into our holy hands, asking these mercies and blessings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the wonderful name. God bless you. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Daniel again. We're just trying to break into this Daniel chapter 9, and we begin to open it up on Wednesday night and look and just see the Holy Spirit just pick it up and take us on even further this morning as we come here expecting these things. Amen. Just to come prayed up, expecting, believing. You will not go away empty. Amen. My God shall supply your need, even according to his riches. That's his word of promise. It shall not fail. Amen. We can hold God to his word. God give us the very faith, his own faith, to hold him to his own word. He so wants to give us these things, friends. Amen. Daniel 9. I'm going to read it a little different because I was taking a couple of places. And I left the prayer, Daniel's prayer, for the prayer meeting. I'm sorry I was unable to be there. God know I really had my heart to be there, but I just couldn't make it. And Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, and if you don't have a Bible, please follow it, somebody. Let's just all focus our attention to God's holy word. The seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years concerning which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet,
that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. We can seek God by prayer, amen. And supplications, and with fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. And verse 16, let's break in the part of the prayer this morning. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. If we are not natural Jews this morning, but we are spiritual Jews. Paul said we are Jew inwardly. And the prayer would mean nothing. Why would a man seek God in prayer so fervently after reading the word? And when we see the utterances of his prayer, which is only was the expression of his revelation from the word of God, where his mind was now enlightened and being enlightened in what the will of God is, that he would know how to pray. He wouldn't just pray in a mist. He was a prophet praying in the spirit with a revelation of the word, knowing the need for the hour, knowing God's will and purpose. And if we study the prayer, we know what it meant to him and in the will of God to have these things. And it would be, you see, to a Jew, Jerusalem is the city of the king. And the sanctuary was God's dwelling place on earth. Amen. That was the place where all Israel would gather, knowing God was veiled behind badger skins. Knowing there was a mercy seat. Knowing that that holy prophet and that holy monk went into the pillar of fire and came back out with the word and put it in that ark of that testimony that laid behind there. But the thing was desolate. That was the place that communication with God. That was the place where the high priest would go with blood once a year for the forgiveness of the sins. Friends, they have no place like that because it represented what was in heaven. Amen. Amen. And that place was desolate, broken down in ruins and ashes. After Nebuchadnezzar sacked the city and burned it and destroyed the temple, and they were taking the captivity, they had no place to go and see God. They had no place to offer sacrifice. They had no place to call upon the name of God. They had no place where they had the temple and the shewbread and all this thing, because he had these vessels down in Babylon. It was being desecrated. Amen. It was in the house of a heathen idol. And here Daniel was praying, oh God, thy city Jerusalem. Because that place wasn't built by a man's imagination. It was built by the commandment of God. It was built by a revelation that a prophet brought to them, coming down from the holy mountain. Tell them, if you want to approach God and get God blessed and have God to live among you, do it this way. That was the same temple David desired to build a house for God. And God said, you shed too much blood, you can't build this place. Amen. But your son Solomon, he will build me a house. It was the place God had filled with his own glory and power that the priest couldn't even minister. And now it was in ruins. It was in ashes. What is the use to go back to your land and you can't even have your temple? What is the use to serve God and you can't even have a place to see God and inquire of God? Solomon said, when you're in distress, look to Jerusalem and pray. Amen. Amen. He had no temple there. It was destroyed. So I want you to understand what was in his heart. He wasn't saying, oh Lord, this, we build a temple. He have no communion with God. Have no real fellowship. Because that temple represented Christ. The tabernacle pictured out hands. Amen. Glory. Oh Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. That was the most holy city, that was the most holy people, that was the most holy place. It was destroyed because of the disobedience of the people when God would speak to them through his prophets, until finally Jeremiah came and says, God, anger is so great now, he's bring up the king of Babylon to take you away from this place. 70 years. And 70 years is a lifespan that is 3 score and 10. That is a lifespan, friend. It means as if a whole lifespan, God is going to put them in judgment. A man born from his mother's womb and going to the grave, and will never see that city. He will never see that temple. He will never know about them things. Just be an imagination in his mind. We don't know what kind of curse that is. The thing that if God will shut us from the world, and God is just an imagination, we don't even know what is right. We don't even know the approach to God. We don't even know how to worship God. What it would be? There'd be no hope for us. But when light begins to come and the word begins to come into your heart, and your eyes begin to open, and you begin to see what God requires, and you can bring what God requires, because you know what God's will is, then you could have faith. Then you could have expectations. Because you're in line with God's will and you're working in harmony with God's Holy Spirit. You can ask what you will. That is what the word means to the believer. And that is what God does for us. By the preaching of the word. By the revelation of the word of God coming forth to us in every age. Verse 17. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation. He was conscious that nothing to identify God is with him. First being in captivity, then a subjection to a foreign hidden power. They're out of their homeland, where the blessing to Abraham was in that land, not outside the land. God don't deal with them outside the land. Think of it. And the same way like the church is away from the word, same way like a man is away from the word, same way like a man is away from the house of God and the presence of God. Friends, that's what repentance is. That's why some of us want to walk in back in the church and just see the minister and talking to him for 2 minutes. No. Look at here. Look at a man who is getting revelation, vision, angelic visitation here. And hear the man pray still. Knowing he was in subjection to a foreign power, heathen power. He was outside his homeland. He was not in the covenant with Abraham and them there, which was in that land. He's outside the boundaries of that covenant. Look and see. A man prayer and desire and pleading God mercy and grace. How could God bless us sometimes if we don't see the example in God's word? That's why an angel can come behind that kind of prayer. Sometimes we want angels to come, but we can't pray right. We don't even know what to ask. We don't even sincere in our prayer. There's no confession of sin in our prayer. Because self-righteousness has not been revealed to us. How evil it is to be inclined thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Daniel was so smitten. He realized, he said, Lord, sometimes we just think of our condition. I'm going to come out of our condition. But he was not just seeing his own condition alone. He was seeing how much God's name was being brought to shame by that temple being there. The people that God called in the Exodus by a prophet with a pillar of fire make the Red Sea move back before them. The people that God loves so much, they fed them with his own hand, create for 40 years, send them food to feed them and their clothes didn't go tread bare. And God protected them and fight the battles for them. And God's presence with them everywhere. And when God is going to destroy them, Moses said, Lord, what are the people going to say? They're going to say, you can't take them to the land. You can't preserve them. And here the same people, God have had to take them out of the land because of the sin and the rebelliousness and the disobedience. And Daniel could look back there and see it in the Exodus. Could look back there and see it in his own time. And he got into God's feelings. How does God feel? Every time we come to God, we only think of how we feel.
But how does God feel? A wife does think more of her husband's needs than her own needs. That's what submission is. That the church will think more of Christ's needs than our own needs. That's what Daniel said. We present our supplication, Lord, for our own self. But when you in the midst of your people, it means God to be among you. God people is obeying God. God people love God and is doing everything right so that God could be with them. And the nations and them had a holy peace, and the gods of the nations that can't speak nor hear, which of wood and stone, is in no way to be compared to the God who is among his people and his presence. Friends, when we know that God wants to dwell among us, and we know the condition that God set to come among us, and we can't see God in that way as he ought to be, we should think how God feels, knowing that God died and shed his blood, that he can have that privilege to dwell in us and walk in us. And when we refuse God that privilege for selfish means and self-righteous means, and exalt our own thinking above the word of God, we can realize the depths and the heights of rebellion that is. No wonder it says stubbornness and rebellion is worse than witchcraft and idolatry. We can't even imagine, because we have not even come to one place where we can even think of how God has seen it. But in the presence of God and the revelation of the word of God, when it strikes your heart, it makes you think about what God wants. Because we want to please him. May we have that as a prayer in our heart this morning. May we not just desire the knowledge part of the word to know this and that and different revelations, but may the heart be in that condition. Then the Spirit of God can come to you and give you skill and understanding. That is what followed that attitude. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city, thy people are called by thy name. That's why God is going to reproach, because his city and his people is called by his name. And they was in sin, not God. They was in sin. And they called by God's name. So God's name get dragged into the filth. That's why he said, let not name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When a man named the name of Christ, we ought to be conscious of the kind of reproach and shame and humiliation, stumbling block that we can be. When we try to go into filth and go into the world and live halfway and misrepresent what the blood has bought for us. May these things become a greater revelation. I pray God give it to us. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. That's what we want to strike. That's important. Notice how he said, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. He is talking about another vision where he had seen Gabriel, because that's the one who was coming to him, and he recognized him to be the same one who had visited him before. Being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee. What I am come for? To show thee. For thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. What vision? The vision at the beginning. Not the 70 weeks vision, the vision at the beginning. Because this what is happening here is the 70 weeks vision. But he's come to make him consider the matter and understand the vision. Because there's a vision at the beginning where he had seen Gabriel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And upon thy holy city. And I want to draw their attention. In the former visions, it wasn't so much about his city. It wasn't so much about his people, it was more about the Gentile powers, about a lion with eagle wings, about a bear with three ribs, about this, and about a head of gold, and about a chest of silver. It wasn't so much about his people. So the previous visions was more about Gentile powers. But this year is dealing now with his people. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. 6 things. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That is 69. From the going forth of the commandment unto the Messiah is going to be 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Daniel is understanding all that. Because he know why the street need to be rebuilt. He know why the wall need to be rebuilt. Because while they left in captivity and chains being taken away, they saw the city in flames. They saw it being destroyed. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Unto Messiah is 62 weeks. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Understand that? But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. In the same city and the same sanctuary he was just praying about, that was already desolate. And now he's being told it's going to be destroyed again. And the end of it shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, or unto the end, shall be war, is the literal translation. Desolations are determined. Just like it was desolate after it was broken down, it says, unto the war, more desolations are determined. And that's why Jerusalem has been the center of conflict for almost 2,000 years. 2,500 years almost. It's been the center of controversy. Every war almost back and forth, going forth. That city is being sacked, it's being burned, it's being bombed, all kinds of different things. His war country is being trodden down continually. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations. Now all that's mystery if you could understand it. Because right now, it has no sacrifice being offered. And they have no sacrifice being offered because they have no temple right now. The mosque of Omar is on the place. They worship by the wall, the Wailing Wall. The last western wall that remained from the former temple. And just recently, all the Palestinians were stoning them while they were praying by the wall. And they had a whole big conflict here. But it's saying that the daily sacrifice shall cease. And they have no sacrifice right now. So it tells us they're going to have a time to be restored back and cease. If you can understand it. Because they're dealing with the last part of it here. The end of the 70th week here. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And if you want to know what that determined means, all you have to read is Revelation 16. You know what is being poured out. His wrath is in 7 vials that he's going to pour out at the end of the 70 weeks. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we stand in our presence, knowing that these things have been proved, that God, since it was written, men recognized Daniel to be an inspired prophet and believed his writings. And especially more and more as history began to unfold, bearing witness and testimony to the accuracy and the and how inspired the prophecy was. So much more they begin to study it and probe that it and probe that it. Until today there are so many different interpretations. But Father, we are thankful that we can understand why it had to be like that. For you said the book was going to be closed until the time of the seventh angel. But when he shall begin to sing, the mystery of God should be finished. And here today, we are sitting under the inspiration of the prophetic message of that seventh angel of Revelation 10:7. May, O God, as we would endeavor to reiterate these sayings which were faithful and true, may the Spirit of the living God give us wisdom of revelation, prophetic insight. We might be able to understand clearly thou will in this hour, as these words surely do reveal your will for this time. Help us, dear God. You said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be full. And how the Spirit of truth is going to come, bring back things to our remembrance, teach us all things and show us things to come. Then we need the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we acknowledge the one among us with our greatest intellect, the one in the world today with our greatest intellect, would still be insufficient and unable to even begin to try to give an understanding of these things, depending on human understanding. For we know a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit. Not just comparing Scripture with Scripture, though that is good. But Lord God, that it would take the operation of the Holy Ghost. And especially, Lord, how we need the inside teacher who would teach us what the outside teacher has taught. You sent your prophet in his thought, but we need you inside our hearts, Lord, to teach us what your prophet has spoken. Then help us and make it plain to us, we might be edified and established and prepared, made ready for your glorious coming. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Well, we want to study a little more. We want to get our minds and our attitudes in the spirit of studying. And you who are here on Wednesday, we begin to pick up that in chapter 9 and begin to look in a little closely into what Daniel was speaking about here and how intriguing it becomes. You know, sometimes, you know, long ago, you used to see all kind of mystery pictures and read them mystery books and how you're going to solve this mystery case and, you know, the case of the missing this and, you know, and the little boys with them hardy boys and all they had the mystery of so and the dark cave and this and that and, you know, and how they're going to solve these mysteries and these things. And a mystery is a thing, you know, it intrigues you. Especially, you know, if you begin to get caught up into it and, you know, it always has a plot and it always has something behind it and, you know, it kind of leaves you there guessing and probing and wondering. And, you know, God is like that in many ways. Because that's how God wrote His Word and He laid it out here in the Bible. And we find that, you know, how men who got intrigued and they tried to probe at it. And they couldn't help probing. Because there is something in the nature of man to want to know and to want to find out. And, you know, they probe at it, and it's the same way in the scientific realm. They probe the things until they came up with great inventions. Inventions that changed the world. Inventions that brought man to, you know, a more comfortable life from the hardships and the toils and the dangers that man live and work in. But then, through the invention of science, through daring men who went to the laboratories with, you know, the test tubes, and they took the chemicals of the earth and they began to work with it and they produced things and they changed the lives of humanity. And to think that we're in the great atomic age today, we're in the great astral age, and man is exploring space, and long ago man didn't even know what lay beyond maybe walking distance. But today they exploded the planet because few men were daring enough to find the key to unlock the mysteries that held space travel, that held traveling in the ocean, that held, you know, inventions to make life easier, the industrial age and the chemical age and these things. Those things lay there as mystery to men. You know, you read about the invention of the wheel, and they showed them a little caveman in the BC time, they call it BC, you know, in the way back there, they showed them cavemen, the Stone Age, and they sit down there and they face all these dinosaurs and they don't know how to fight these things off, and their life in danger and volcanic explosions everywhere and meteoric showers from outer space, and you know, they life is so hard and they're confined to a cave and it's primitive. And then you see a man invent the wheel. And with the inventions of the wheel, which they claim is one of the first inventions, how it changed the course of the world, broke man into a new dimension. Because now they could travel faster. Now with the wheel they could spin and make pottery and have vessels to use. You know, before a man might be very primitive in don't have a vessel to eat in or do something in, or to put water in or something, might be what he dig out, you know, with some blunt instrument and a piece of wood or something. But now with the wheel, he can make pottery, he can make vessels, he can make this and make in different shapes. He can begin, he have a chance to express his creativity. Then for war, if he's going to fight, he can make chariots and move at a faster speed on the wheels and transportation to rout the enemy and travel distances and conquer foreign territories, you know, and get there and do things. It was so, you know, outstanding to see that with the invention of the wheel, how it changed industry and it changed war and it changed commerce and it changed, you know, the social living of the people. Just a wheel. Man got a thought that something wrong could give you movement. And with that movement, and you use it in different forms and different ways under different principles, it began to make a breakthrough into different spheres to evolute your life up from certain conditions. Well, so God have his word laid out. It may look mysterious, but as you begin to break and unlock these mysteries, what does it do to the church? It begins to bring the church into a sphere where she can live and move and do things. Amen. Beyond the primitive stage of former ages. The church can come into a sphere where they begin to break into the realm, you know, of the power of the Holy Ghost. Think of when the church had only no justification, no about sanctification. And a man walking on the edge of living a justified life and still smoking and drinking and talking about God and different things. And that's all the power he had in a justified state. Then we get clear and sanctified and begin to shout a little bit and feel happy. Man, the Holy Ghost comes a little closer to him because the sin is dealt with. Life has been cleaned up to become a dwelling place for the Holy Ghost. But think how much greater the Holy Ghost was inside the man. He was now speaking in new tongues. He was now praying for the sick. He was now doing different things. And the church was into a realm where it could not have gone into without them breaking into these mysteries and opening up new frontiers that brought a greater power into the church. God does that for his people. That's why when we watch the word, we sit and we watch the word. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Why is the Holy Spirit going to these things? Why is the Holy Spirit probing and holding us there and trying to get our minds channeled and trying to impress us with the vision and make sure we see clearly? What is he doing that for? To give us more knowledge? No! To break us into a new frontier! To bring more power into the church! Oh, it deals with the foolishness. It deals with the slothfulness. It deals with all the absent-mindedness, because we see we at the end. We see why you must totally separate from all unbelief. We see we are going out. We see the Holy Ghost is here. We see him putting the church in rapturing condition. We know the resurrection is at hand. We live different. If we only go and see a church in Barataria and them people, you know, they saw and I ain't like them. Somebody buffed me up the other day and you see nothing. Amen. But when you come into the realm and you see what the Holy Ghost is doing, You think the church, you think the nominal church and the fundamental believer understood what the Holy Ghost was doing to Luther? You think they were seeing God as bringing the church of Catholicism, God as moving the church in a new sphere, God as bringing the church in a justified state? You think the nominal believer without revelation understood what God is doing to Wesley, that spiritual scientist, with a key in his hand, opening up a justified state, bring the church and the horse and buggy to the motor car? Do you think they understood? They sit on the preaching, but they wasn't conscious what the Spirit was doing. A man had a key in his hand and he was unlocking doors. Hallelujah! He was unlocking minds. Amen! The light of God could shine in and bring you out of the church tradition and church formality and bring you into a walk with God in the presence of the living God, where God could talk to you and you can know God's will for the day that you are living in. And friends, when you understand what God is doing, then you can yield to what God is doing. Then you can appreciate and thank God for what God is doing. Then you get excited about what God is doing. Then you want to be part of what God is doing. Then you're willing to pay the price to be what God is doing. Amen! It can happen in your life. Amen! Why? Because the Holy Spirit has unlocked your mind, has opened up a new frontier. The Bible calls it in scriptural words, ministering an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom by opening up the mysteries of the kingdom to you. Amen! Amen. Glory! And you striving lawfully, coming to get a hold of the mastery, then you no longer fight like one that beat the air. Amen! Glory! You know, to set your wings in the promises of God now. Then you're going to see a church in the apostolic condition. Because God is doing that. That's why the symphony, the drama of the Word of God unfolding in this day is something that, you know, once you get a hold of us and we see it and we understand what God is doing, but to live outside of that is death. Life is not worth living no more. To live separated from that. Because it makes life meaningful. It puts life in the right channel. It shows you why God created you and put you on the earth in this age. And what God wants to do in your life. It makes you understand why you're different inside. Why you tried to fit in the world and couldn't fit in. Why you went to many churches and remained dissatisfied. Amen. It brings you to the awareness. It shows you your name inside His Bible. Amen. It shows you God thinking towards you. Amen. Then a man no longer tries to work himself up in the power. Amen. The secret of all power that laid inside him in the form of eternal life begins to burst open. And he begins to see, he can put that away and put that away. Because there is something being quickened inside him, bringing the outer man into subjection to the inner man. Hallelujah! Teaching him how to delight himself after the law of the inward man. Oh, then he walks in a world where there's no condemnation. Amen. Because he's living with a vision of how God has seen him. God's thoughts, the mind of Christ has taken over his carnal mind. Amen. His thinking has been filtered by the abundance of revelation that God has shown beyond a shadow of a doubt. He was in God. Amen. Always was in God. He didn't choose God. God chose him. That's why he hungered after truth. That's why he wanted to know what the truth is. He wanted to know who he is, where he come from. Amen. He couldn't be satisfied. He must know that there's a passion that drove him to find out. Amen. Glory be to God. He might be criticized, ridiculed, evil spoken of by many people, but something pushed him. Amen. Amen. Push him beyond the voices. Amen. Until he could find that fountain of living water. Amen. Could quench that thirsty soul. How many could identify with that kind of experience? How many know I'm talking about? Amen. Glory. You know what I'm talking about. You have that experience. So you know the Word of God isn't just fiction. Because if it was fiction, you would have never had that experience. But the Word of God confirms your experience. And your experience shows that the right way to read the Word of God. Amen. My. You mean a man and a woman could live that way? in the midst of all this temptation, in the midst of all this evil. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sirree. Amen. God, you realize the strength and the power of God when you begin to have preeminences in a son and daughter of God, into one whose mind has been enlightened. You're made to understand. You're not just doing things in a mimic realm. You see this one do it, so you're trying to do it. You see this one do it, so you're trying to do that without knowing why they're doing it. But now, you're no longer in the mimic stage. You see, when children small, there's mimic. That's the baby stage. You can't teach supernatural things to Pentecostal babies because it brings impersonation. The babies don't know why you're doing that. But they try to follow you because it looks great. It looks powerful. But they don't know the key to unlock that. So they try to impersonate. They don't know where it's coming from. Amen. See, they were going to have their oil and blood on the platform and different things because they saw one with a sign in their hand. They saw one with the secret of their heart, and they're trying to get all kind of feelings and all kind of little lights and different things to try to say what somebody was thinking. Trying to read the mind of people. Because they didn't know where that was coming from. That's why you see a bunch of the wrong in the Pentecostal realm today. And not one can say, I see you traveling, I see you talking. Because it was coming by vision. It was coming through a divine operation. It wasn't coming by you trying to get an impression. No! He was seeing it and describing what he was seeing. Because he broke into another dimension. Amen. Oh, how wonderful it is. And this book of Daniel here, you know, it is like one of them places that, you know, you have them kind of puzzles. And they have this place, find this treasure here. And it looks like a labyrinth. You know, and you don't know how to where to pass. If they pass the dead end, you try to come back. But you know, if they have a treasure there, it must have a way to pass. Oh, it looks so complicated. And you know, that's how God laid his word out. And that's why he says, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to come to lead you and guide you. The prophet says, I'm going through a woods. You need a guide. Otherwise, you're going to get lost. He said, when a man gets lost in the word, it's something else. He said, when a church gets lost in the word, it's something else. They get bewildered or bewildered set of mind. They can get in any kind of spirit. They can throw the very thing that God gives them to protect themselves. They can kill themselves with it too. Amen. He said, a man throw his gun, he kill himself, he fall, he break his foot. You know, he just go bewildered after a while. But when you have a guide who knows the way, who's commissioned to take you and bring you back out. Hallelujah! And the Holy Ghost who wrote the word passes through the Bible. Amen. How different it is going to be. And that's why we need to study. We need to look at it because God is doing something. We're not just having a nice time. We're not just kind of browsing through this because we have nothing else to do. We went in here, not even knowing left from right, where we're going to start, how we're going to turn, what we're going to do. But we went in there and begin to draw from God's great resources here and to see the Holy Spirit. Many people, maybe for years, who read and never understood, begin to understand in the last couple of months here. The mind begin to become enlightened. Why? Because God wanted to give it to them. God wanted to get them interested. And as he gets them interested, as their attention become focused, as they begin to desire, to want to know, then God wants to reveal to them. When he gets them quiet, when they can hear his voice. If they hear so much other voices, it's difficult. Because something else has already gotten their attention. But when God can get their attention, then he can teach them things. And that's why we lack power in our life, and we feel there's nothing to it. No. We must come into it the way the Spirit wants to bring us into it. There's a purpose and a reason for that. God's ways are always right. Amen. And we was taken there last week, Wednesday, how many Bible scholars attempted to solve these mysteries in the book of Daniel, especially in the Reformer age. And the Reformer age was one of the great ages of the church, where the Spirit of wisdom was given, the cunningness of man. When the devil was ruling the world for almost 1,000 years and holding the world in darkness for almost a millennium, God needed something to break that power. And when God looked and he figured, what am I going to do What am I going to do here? What could buckle that thing? Them men have all kind of history. They have all kind of teachings. They have all kind of books. They have all kind of, you know, different things. They have the people so totally influenced. And God looked there and says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send down the anointing of wisdom of a man. And in that age, the reformer age, was the age of the spirit of man. Spirit of wisdom. Shrewdness to deal with them Jesuits and them. The anointed man could stand there and rip that thing to shreds. Where a man like Luther could nail 95 theses on the door. If these have 95 ordinances yet on the door there, and nail it upon that church in Wittenberg. Brother, show why that thing is false and could never be the church of God, and he will not recant. And he stood there as one man and turned the world upside down. That's history. You can read that in school, in the school book and all. Called the age of the Reformation. Protestants, they called him. They begin to protest that thing. Amen. Because they were using the Lord of the land and everything, so man with wisdom coming and begin to show those things. And brother, bringing a new society and that thing spread. People are so delivered. But we know that, you know, it had its ramifications. Because many people were following it, not because of being enlightened, you know, the truth. They were following it for material gain. They were politically minded. It was setting them free from Roman rule. Now they wouldn't have to pay no money to Rome. That Rome was through the sales of indulgences and these things. They tried to get away from that. And that's why they come into the movement. I trust we don't be caught in a trap. I trust we don't try to get in the confines of the revealed word and try to run from denomination, run from the world for any other motive than that we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Amen! You know why? Our folly will be made manifest along the way. Because when they come in, the word is going to start to speak, and they're going to come places they can't die, and they can't line up, and they can't separate, and the word is going to hit them places, and they're going to find themselves standing there fighting against the word, rebelling against the word, going to never come for all the word. Amen! Amen. Yes, sir! That's the Bible, amen. Amen. Sure, mixed multitude. It happened in Egypt, happened in the time of Jesus. You mean it would happen in the third Exodus also? Yes. Every Exodus is the same. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh God, give us a wash our inwards with water, Lord. Amen. That's what we should be saying. Yes. Don't get vexed with me. Just say, wash our inwards with water, Lord. Amen. Set my affections and things above. Amen. I love you. I against the Holy Spirit speaking to His word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. God is going to have a church out, spotted out, wrinkled, my friend. The meek shall inherit the whole world. We don't want to try to take it from the Pope. We're going to inherit it because Jesus paid for it. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to come back with Him. And He will take it over completely. Amen. Glory. Some of us trying to take it from the Pope and outsmart the government and do it and try to take it out with you. That's not the way to take the kingdom. No, sir. Glory. You might spoil some Egyptians out of it, but you don't take the kingdom out of it. No, sir. The meek going to inherit because Jesus paid for it. When Satan offered him, he refused it. When, like Abraham, when the man, you know, gave to Abraham the burying place. And he told Abraham, he says, take it for free. He said, I wouldn't take a shoe lots of me for free. I'll pay for it. Amen. Glory! I lift my hand to the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. Glory! Amen. You know the possessor of heaven and earth? Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Yes, sir. My. Amen. So these men probed and probed. A reformer agent with cunning and wisdom. As the prophet shows, is it at the age when most songs was written, most books was written, most charts was drawn, most each one left the school and a great load of books. That today we have so much Christian literature today. We can read Fox's Book of the Martyrs, we can read Prince of the House of David, you know, we can read the Antinicene Fathers, we can read all the different. Why? Because all those people back there, how they compile those things, they put it together. We have the concordances, Cudens and Strong's and the Bible dictionary and that Bible dictionary and maps and the Holy Land and everything else. And where all the places are, where the dead scrolls and but everything. Why? It come out to that time. God used men. He put that spirit upon them. They spent hours and hours and hours at the desk, and they were drawing, and they were writing, and they were doing this, and they were traveling places, and they were looking, and they were observing the archaeology, and they were tying together with the history, and there was. So when you come, you take a book on Bible customs. You have one written. You can see every custom in the Bible. You can have a reference to everyone. You can take a Cruden's Concordance or a Strong Dictionary and look into the Greek and the Chaldee and the Hebrew and back and forth and at your fingertip. Why? Because man was anointed by the Spirit. This age was going to be a short age of a quick, short work. It wasn't going to be time for writing books and all these things. Amen. So it wouldn't be time. God is not going to put you there to spend years and years and years of trying to find how much times this word is mentioned in the Bible. No, you can just open a Cruden's Concordance and say 18 times. Exactly. Because why? God in his body, as Jesus said, you're entering into other people's labors. Amen. When Luther come, when Wesley come, he don't even look for a revelation of justification and try to get a different thought to Luther. He only pick up what justification. When the Pentecost come, they don't even try to understand justification. They don't even pick it up. When the prophet come, he don't even try to do that. He just straighten out the loose ends. Yeah. Amen. And bring it further into the word for this day. Just come in to tie the loose ends together and introduce the Messiah. Oh my. But what's something now? Are we saying that those men, they probed this book of Daniel because they know it was sealed up. And they know the mystery was concerning the end time. And they know that God, when he started with Abraham, and how this Bible is a Jewish book, and there's not one Gentile wrote anything in this entire Bible. Not one word, not one comma a Gentile wrote in this Bible. It's all written by Jews, by Jewish prophets. But to think of it that God took a Gentile and expounded the entire mystery of the Bible in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. A Gentile, not a Jew, a Gentile. Revelation 10:7, amen. Glory, you talk about God, amen. You talk about how wonderful God is in his works. God goes so high and then drops back so low, amen. Goes so far this way and come back this way. No longer he leaves the chronological mind, amen, confused. And to leave a chronological mind confused, you ought to be a real mysterious person. Because there are people that can figure out 2 and 2 is 4. And a lot of people like to go into the word that way. And when you go into the word that way, you go into problems. Because the word of God is written that it don't always go 2 and 2 is 4. Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now watch. So they probed and probed and they taught those things because why? They knew that if they could find those 70 weeks, what was going to happen, we'll know the end time. We'll know when that rock is going to smite the kingdom of this world. We're going to see how it's going to move into the consummation. We're going to see the millennium set up on the earth. Amen. And knowing that the Bible had promised that there's, we shall not all sleep, but there'll be some who standing here will not see death. Amen. Until they see the Messiah coming in his corporate body. Glory be to God. Amen. And they know that. And how in each age as more truth unfolded, men became so inspired that they thought that that was the time. Each one thought it was their time. Many men thought they were not going to die, but they were going to see the coming of the Lord. How even the prophet of this would say, oh God, let me live to see it. He had come right to them seven thunders. He read all man writings. No man never wrote in them seven thunders. The most they put in a little paragraph about it. Here was a man whose message was to be the seven thunders. Not a paragraph. A man whose message, a man who was born to catch them seven thunders. That could only come to a prophet. Because if his mysteries, it cannot come to reformers. Now I want to lay that down here thoroughly. No reformers. No reformers for 400 years could solve Daniel's 70 weeks. If they did, then the scriptures is broken. I know
We all read little books here and there, and we all pick up a little inspiration, and we all get edified from many reformers. And the prophecies I read, Larkin and Smith, as I quoted for you, and Scofield and all them, he said, but I could not tie theirs together with all the scriptures. Yet we have so much of us, oh, brother, we don't have a word for the prophet, and Scofield reasoned a little good with our imagination and some good to our understanding, we said, that is it, because our mind can't break that or fit that properly. So since we can't break it and fit it, then we accept it. Then we take Larkin and say, I find, you know, but that man had truth. Because I see where in the Seven Churches book, you're talking about pages, word for word, were just taken up by the prophet and put there, because it need no alteration, it need no improvement, it was the Holy Ghost, it was the wisdom of God, it was the spirit of man, same spirit come back as the eagle. Sure. But yet when he came to Daniel 70 weeks, he said, I cannot tie what that man is saying together with all the scriptures. Now when a prophet tells you can't tie what a reformer is saying, friends, you have to forget what the reformer is saying. Because that man is not a reformer, that man is a prophet, born a prophet. And a prophet is a divine revealer. Because all the reformers who was pulling from these notable reformers, they was misunderstanding the last day messenger because of the way he was teaching scripture. But he was sent to reveal the entire pyramid and open up the white rock and bring forth the mystery of the entire Bible. So when a prophet says a reformer is wrong, a reformer is wrong. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Now I know some of us have our favorite reformers. I'm not against reformers. They had the time, and he said, it just wasn't his time. He says, oh, Dr. Uriah Smith, he says, that man from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, what a wonderful man he was. Amen. And how he wrote the air about soul sleeping. What else could a man do? Had no teacher could tie what Paul was saying together. And what Paul wrote, he wrote because he went beyond the curtain of time. He said, I was caught up into heaven. They're going to take a next one like Paul who had to go into heaven to come back to reveal it. So the most a man could do is compare scripture with scripture, though that is good. But it was a mystery, and mysteries don't come to formers. If it's a mystery, the word of God, it must come to a prophet. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except reveal his secret to the servant of the prophets. And I know there's people in the message who disagree with Brother Branham's revelation on Daniel 70 weeks. That means that you have to be taking the word of a reformer above a prophet concerning a mystery. And especially the prophet who was sent to reveal all the mystery, the prophet in the day when the book that was sealed in the time of the reformers to believe in was opened in the time of the prophet. You understand that? The book was sealed. Was the book open in Luther time? Was the book open in Wesley time? Was the book open in the time of the Pentecostals? 400 years! A reformer. You mean a reformer could catch that mystery when the book is sealed and a prophet can't reveal when it's open? Especially a prophet who's given the ministry to reveal it? God forbid. The prophet knew we didn't need a thinking man filter. He knew we didn't need a holy man taste. He knew that some of us could be still getting a little Pentecostal nicotine. A little denominational nicotine coming through your filter. So you need a thinking man filter. So you wouldn't have no taste for the word of a past age. You wouldn't have a taste for an error, prophet correct. Amen. We have a holy man taste for the revealed word of the hour. Even though we don't understand it. You start to say, I believe it, Lord. Show me what you mean now. Amen. Glory. When he came, he had to face 400 years of some of the world's greatest reformers. Because after 400 years of Reformation, you had 969 denominations. And you had many schools left by the influential men of each era of those 400 years. Moody had his institute, Billy Sunday had his school, Alex teachers, but what, not prophets. Amen. They like to teach prophecy, but it's not prophets. And it was a prophet Daniel who heard seven thunders and slept the book of Daniel. It's going to take a prophet like Daniel at the going out of the Gentile dispensation. As Daniel came in the beginning of the Gentile dispensation, who's going to hear them seven thunders again? Amen. And going to light inside of there and open up the prophecy. I thank God I've seen such a prophet. I've seen Malachi 4:5. I've seen Revelation 10:7. Glory be to God. Amen. And ain't no minister going to come behind that prophet or teacher or anybody to try to alter that prophet. He said, don't take it from this word. It's not my word. It's his word. And he said, Revelation 20, the place in the book, it touched this message. He said, splice, turps, anything. Because this, he said, I'm getting this information from the Logos. He said, I'm getting this information from the pillar of fire. Who came to Moses and wrote the Old Testament? Who came to Paul and wrote the New Testament? That's the word. Come back to reveal this Bible. Amen. Oh, don't you see? Can't you see why I'm happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, my, thank God all this denominational smoke is blown away from your mind. The headstone came shouting grace. When the rock, the stone himself, came and was being revealed to that prophet, the Son of Man. How could we call him the Son of Man? How could we say the power of infallibility was on that prophet like it was on Paul? And then say he could make a mistake like that. God forbid. Amen. Hallelujah. And by his humble grace, I'm commissioned to say what he said. Saying what he said. Amen. Glory. I got no message of my own. I'm only to put you in remembrance to tell you God sent Malachi 4 and he declared the entire counsel of God and we are walking in the light. Shout found by Sabonico Lady. Amen. Walking in the light. Hallelujah. Glory. After that, you can believe what you want. But you know, I stand by the grace of God. Hallelujah. It could not be made plain until Revelation 10:7. And Revelation 10:7 is after Revelation 10:1-6. And Revelation 10:1-6 is the stone himself. Come in. It's the seven thunders. It's the open book. Then the seventh angel is going to begin to speak. Amen. The lion of roared. Who can but fear? Then God was pronounced the denominational voice now. The voice of God in the last days. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's where you stand there and you see what happened in the generation. You see what took place. You see who came down. You saw who spoke to that prophet. Like them children of Israel, God made Moses God. Say, you can't be God. Friends, don't you realize that prophet was God to this generation having the word of God inside him? That might be a little strong for untaught denominational people, but you can get real Bible to you. We're not saying the prophet is God, but we're saying God is revealing the prophet. Hallelujah. Glory. St. Luke 17:30, even thus shall it be in that day. Before I burn the world with fire, St. Malachi 4, the Son of Man shall be revealed. Amen. That prophet, like it was back in Genesis. Amen. He'll come to the elected bride. That mess will change them. Give them power to come back young. You talk about getting ready for the coming of the Lord. That's what we are caught up in. And these mysteries will show us how to prepare for great translation faith. Hallelujah! That comes by preaching these mysteries. Wait until the voices of those seven thunders even speak forth to that little group. Hallelujah! It will bring the church into a new frontier. God will open up, amen, new doors to them. Bring them into a realm to know the hour and to work with the Holy Spirit in such harmony that they'll become the very tabernacle of deity. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. It's wonderful. It's truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Oh my. You talk about being standing in the Bible. You talk about standing in the scriptures. You talk about walking the apostles' doctrine. Amen. You talk about believing just what thus said the Lord says. Yes, sir. These are no denominational dreams. These are no little Pentecostal nonsense. These are no 7 days wild imaginations. These are Jehovah Witness speculation. This is thus said the Lord from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Spoken by a prophet. Vindicated by a pillar of fire. Yes, sir. Glory. You see, is he wanted said that way. That's why he comes to say it himself. He just took my vocal cords to say it himself. Amen. Because he wanted anchored and rooted down in their heart. He wanted bolted down inside of the air. He don't want his people confused. Amen. He won't want his bride with no strange seed. He don't want no denominational seed in the womb of his wife. He wants his bride to bring forth the word, baby in the word image. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, when you flirt him with the serpent seed, close to Adam's seed, Adam's seed said 3.5 years. Remain. Moses and Elijah are going to pick that up. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, this be like the Holy Ghost to me. Amen. Glory! I feel the heavenly fire, amen! Glory! Amen, yes sir! Something in my heart there, then say that, amen! Glory be to God, that's nothing but the truth! We are resting on that! I could hear millions scream! Hallelujah, I could hear millions screaming! Glory be to God, amen! I could hear the prophet say this morning, seek him, brother Vince. Seek him. Amen. Seek him. Glory. Hallelujah. Nothing but what I preach. Amen. You saying what I said, son. Keep saying it. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, this book of Daniel is just too much for me. I'm like John. I'm caught away in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah, seeing visions in the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Oh, the prophet said, be careful, John. He said, you're getting in the spirit. You're going to start to see things now. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I wanted to get you all the time in the spirit, boy. You're breaking all formality, all tradition barriers. You're coming up the heavenly ladder. Amen. Glory, you're coming up into the white rock. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Love an old-fashioned meeting. Amen. Glory, I love to shout and feel the Holy Ghost. Can't help it. Amen. You have emotion buried, the prophet says. We're not getting too emotional, but emotion is good for the soul. Amen. When you feel it, you say amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But you just listen to what I'm saying too. Listen to what I'm saying too. I'm happy, but I'm speaking his word. A lot of things being said. Amen. Glory. That will bring the joy. The wine that bring the joy. Amen. Yes, sir. So when he came, he had 400 years of man's ideas to deal with. 400 years of man's experiments with the word that produced dead organizations that had no life in them. Everyone, as he stood at the end of the Pentecostal age and look at all 969 that came under the anointing of man, not one had life in them. It was all dead. The life had passed through the stalk and the tassel and the shock. It was in the grain. And the word himself was going to take the book, the word itself. Amen. Glory.
He never fought them. He said, it just wasn't the time. How could they know these things? If they'd known these things, we didn't know seven angels. They'd bring the church back to the word of God. But it's going to be one like Paul, a prophet, to catch that word, to bring it back to one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Then we can get to 2 Thessalonians 2, where Paul was teaching from the book of Daniel. So the people say, we are gathered unto the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah! He said, remember, I was telling you these things. Glory. Like Jesus. We talked about it in the car coming this morning. How Jesus in Matthew 24:15. Out of the whole book of Daniel, the word himself went straight. And pick up that part of Daniel that says, and when you shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. All 12 chapters of Jesus, the only thing Peter and Daniel is right, they pick it up like that. Oh my, you know that was going to bother a lot of people. You're going to confuse many of them. And he picks it up and puts it right there for us. Into the last days, when we're living in these last days. And the church is thinking about going home. And we're all homesick. And we just, and we, all them denominational buses going their own way, none going to heaven. We can't see the heavenly sign of none of them. Amen. We're stranded almost. No transportation out of here. Where are we going to? We decide to kind of take a little walk. Because noisy hang around them old buses. All going to the fifth, different parts of the fifth dimension. Amen. But while we're walking, seeming like we all left alone. Don't know how to find our way. All of a sudden we're going to hear a whirling song. That heavenly chariot. Amen. Begin to come down. Amen. Coming forth to carry you home. Amen. Coming down. Seven, a band of angels coming after you. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving us a heavenly ride, brother. Say, you just sit down and relax. You don't even bother because this come from home. This taking you back where you come from. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't even want to know anything. Amen. This is going to take you right back where you belong. Oh, my. That was like when David heard his song. In the mulberry tree, a song he was hearing, and being the rustle through the leaves, and if you God to say, time to move, rise and move now. When you move now, you're moving right in the time and season and the will of God. Amen. And brother, when you could hear in the church of the living God, that mulberry tree, amen, and the Spirit of God begin to move and rustle among the leaves, and begin to hear a heavenly song of the word. Amen. Glory. And the Holy Spirit putting the emphasis in the right places. Showing you the day and the hour, you know it's time to move, amen. You leave all your foolishness behind because you're sitting there in the quietness and you hear in the still small voice speaking on the inside of the inside, telling you, you're waiting for this many years, but it's time to move now. Amen. It's I calling you. It may look a little strange. Amen. But listen and check it out with the word and see. It is the voice of your heavenly Father. Amen. Glory! Yeah, a voice calling me. Oh, from an old rugged tree. We look old and rugged this morning. Amen. But it's a voice coming out of the air. Amen. Glory. Then come my child. Amen. It's I. Be not afraid. Glory. Brother, what a privilege we have to sit under the inspiration of the seventh angel message. I get so happy talking about that again this time. It's something that the Holy Spirit anointed. Wednesday night I come and speak about this, and maybe God wanted for some inside of here. I just get caught away speaking about it this morning again. Oh, it's something just let them know I sent my prophet. Amen. Blasted for thus said the Lord. That was me inside that prophet. Let them not be ashamed of my message. Amen. Let them know in whom they're believing and be persuaded it is able to keep them in this dark and evil hour, even prepare them for rapture and grace. Glory. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you because he wants you to know that. Amen. But this message came dripping with blood. All seven drops of blood and them seven voices speaking out of them seven drops of blood. Amen. Bringing forth the sevenfold plan of redemption. A prophetic pyramid message, a capstone revelation into your heart. Amen. Glory. To bring you back in the image of God. Amen. To let you see who you are. Amen. Yes, sirree. Okay, I'm going to just find myself finishing up right where I stepped.
can see, but it's still good. I can't afford to get away from his presence. Just want to follow him. Amen. So let's study a little close now. Maybe I should start right and put in what he said. What he said is going to be good. Daniel, simply read. I want to read for you from a little bit here. Remember, I told you as long as I'm in 9, I'm going to just use one title, which is the vision of the sanctuary prophet. And when he came here and he opened up this Daniel sanctuary. Now remember what I did here on Wednesday, and how I was showing you the purpose of God sending the prophet, and why he had to come, because all these men probe at these things and produce churches, yet they never solve those mysteries because they couldn't solve it. But this morning, by the grace of God, I'll try to point you to something that he said, and you can see the importance of why we need to see the hour that we are living in. Because there's no perfect faith unless you recognize the position. And to recognize the position, you must recognize what part of the word you are. And all his word was allotted to its own time and its own season. Each age had its portion of word, had its own time, had its own elect, had its own messenger, had its own promise. And so God have come down through the ages. The book of Revelation reveals that. In the book of Acts, you just see one dispensation flashes forth. When the book of Revelation shows, it divided up into 7 ages of the church. And we said each one had a special man to that age, who was called the angel of the age, who was to bring the word, speak for God in that age. And the revelation was only going to come to that one man in every age. Then the light was going to be spread through the ministry of others who were faithfully taught and knew how necessary it was to say only what was said by the messenger. Okay. That's why I'm asking God to let me know what these 70 weeks mean. Now if I call some pages here for you, I don't want to confuse you with every single book. I'm not going to compile book. And it don't just, when each message is done, it just continues on the next number page and go right on. But this one's out there, page 9, Gable instructions. I'm asking God to let me know what 70 weeks mean, because I know it's the exact calendar for the age that we are living in. He said, I know that's the calendar for this age that we are living in. And yet I want to know it, not for myself. He said, of course I want to know it. I don't say it that way, not for myself, because I do want it for myself. I want to know because I want to know where we are living and what time we are living in. And then I know that was given. He says, well, that wasn't after 70 weeks. It's all finished. We want to know the truth, and I'm asking God to give it to me. Now when he says all finished, we mean the day of grace, salvation. For both Jew and Gentile, it'll be all over. But we don't mean it finished in that the millennium is going to start when the 70 weeks done. Because we know the battle of Armageddon starts after. And the Bible never says how long that's going to be. Ain't that going to be 2 days? That's when God is really pouring out all them 7 vials, his wrath, upon those people. Remember, the Catholic Church, the Roman system, still remains when Moses and Elijah goes to heaven. Because the beast killed Moses and Elijah. Kill the full virgins of all them, right? Is that right? Sure. They stand here still. Because Jezebel, long after Elijah was caught away, Jezebel still went on. Elijah didn't kill Jezebel. Jehu was anointed to go forth and destroy that Jezebel. Is that right? But when Elijah was there, what did he do? He pulled out 7,000. Who was among the Jews that was caught up as a nation? See, because Ahab and Jezebel was in a marriage, a covenant, a union. What for? Political reasons. Because Ahab needed Jezebel's financial power to consolidate his kingdom. Is that right? Right in the type.
And during that time, Elijah comes, and then Paul comes in Romans 11, and he goes right there and picks that up, and what did he say? He says, God, Israel will not be cast away. He said, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. He said, just like when Elijah thought he alone was forsaken, God had 7,000 who didn't bow down knees, and so there'll be a remnant. So Paul was showing that when Moses and Elijah come back to the Jews there, what's going to happen? Ahab, which is Israel, backslidden as a nation, not knowing the truth, blind to it, he's lost the power in these things, and he's going into a covenant with that pagan Jezebel. Is that right? Yes. But yet there are some people who won't bow down, because when Jezebel came into power, what did she do? She began to build up pagan altars and take over the land, and her God is being worshipped everywhere, even in Israel. Is that right? All kind of abominations were set up. You get what I'm saying? I'm speaking in a parable for you. I'm taking that type there to show you what it was typing. Because one prophet, Paul, goes that. Then two prophets, Brother Branham, came, page 426 seal, and goes right back to the same thing and shows, look, Paul was showing Elijah's going to come, call on fire from heaven, burn up Jezebel troops, all them things. Because the fourth kingdom, Rome, was called that woman Jezebel in the church age. Is that right? So the Roman power is Jezebel. And Jezebel becomes into a marriage covenant. Because they will make a covenant with the Jews. Is that right? For political reasons. But you think God is going to let his elect get trapped in that kind of thing? No, there will be a prophet there. What did Elijah do? He turned their heart back to the faith of their fathers. He repaired the altar. Amen. He slew the false prophets. Exactly what his ministry is going to be. Point them back to the word. But this time it wouldn't be some Jewish tradition. It'd be calling them out of Jewish traditions to recognize the true atonement. Because they will have the daily sacrifice, but that will be what? Blood of bulls and goats. But they'll be preaching the real atonement, which the Jews don't know. Because they rejected that atonement in the person of Jesus Christ when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Exactly right. They say, "We have no king but Caesar." They didn't accept him as king, they accepted him as Messiah. And he was cut off. But not for himself. He died for others. He had no sin. He died for others. I lay down my life, greater love of no man is, a man love his life for his friends. I give my life a ransom for many. No man take my life from me. Unto this end was I born, for this cause came into the world. You getting that? He was cut off, but not for himself. Okay. So we know then that if this is the calendar for this day, it can tell us, because when it's over, when the 70 weeks are around, there's no more mercy. Either side. The Gentiles is going to finish first. Before I go back to the Jews, God will deal with both at the same time. And when you go back to them, then you have a time there when grace and mercy will preach, because he poured the spirit of grace and supplication. There will be a fountain open in the house of David. To cleanse them from sin and unrighteousness. Is that right? So, after Joseph dismissed his bride in the palace, what happened? He revealed himself to his brothers. After Naomi went back in the land, what happened? Ruth went back with her. Is that right? Then Ruth received redemption. Is that right? Sure. So then we see those things in the type. It's all typing what is going to happen to the Jews in the last days. So we talk about Daniel 70 weeks, and that last week, we can't leave out them types, and the prophecy and the type must go together, because it is the same God, it is the same word, just unfolding part in prophecy, unfolding part in shadows, unfolding part in types, unfolding part in the feast. Because we have to go back to the feast too. When they mourn for the sacrifice that was killed, they wasn't going to make a kill the sacrifice, they're going to mourn for the sacrifice that was already killed. Alright. All that is going to happen that time. So we want to know that, he says. If we can know that, if we can recognize it right now, we are recognizing the sacrifice. Right now we are receiving the spirit of grace and supplication. Right now we are seeing the fountain open in the house of David. Right now the sun is black out and the moon is not shining. To the denominational world, we've got to put them outside of the church, and the church is going into darkness. Right now the stars are falling from heaven. Methodist and Baptist, fallen stars, fallen angels, Pentecostal fallen ministers, because they fell into hell, they fell into the ecumenical movement, they fell for the lie of Lucifer. Though they protested the very thing, they come back and fall for it. They reject Malachi 4, who brought back the full word. You understand what's happening? Our time is running off, friend. When the Jews go through what we have gone through, you see what we have come through? Water baptism, why? I don't want to be sprinkled. Don't pour no water on me. Bury me. Immerse me in water. Why? It was preached to you. Not a reformer truth of baptism. The light and baptism come. No, you're correctly identified, because baptism means to bury. You are buried like Christ was buried. It shall be light in the evening time. Is that right? And the path of glory you surely will find. Straight, straight is the way. The water, straight, straight. Read the Bible, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Is a body of water. Coming back the waterway. Oh my. Stranger visitor, if you are sprinkled and think you've been baptized, if they pour water in you to dip you 3 times in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, know today you need to be rebaptized in Christian baptism. Because that door is still open. One day that door is going to swing shut. And it swings shut after that midnight cry is given, saying, "Behold, a bridegroom cometh." Is that right? After that cry, say, "Go ye out to meet him." That door, "Behold, I set before you an open door." Exactly the same thing is going to come back to them 144,000. Moses and Elijah is going to preach this same message. They are going to sing it forth. They are going to show that God was manifest in the flesh. That was Jesus Christ. They are going to show water baptism. They are going to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Glory! When it strike them Jews, just we who was Catholics and Anglicans and Methodists and Baptists and Jehovah's Witnesses and all kinds of different things, and we had to leave our traditions and come to this lamb, the real lamb. So they're going to put away the blood of bulls and goats and the geese and all the traditions and all the different things, because they will see the real shoe bread. They will see the real, amen, unleavened bread stand in the air. They will see the real lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes stand in the air. Fail out of the Bible, spoken by prophets. Amen. Brother, they won't have no, you know what, Jews will stand up there and say, tell the son and the daughter, "What is the matter with you? What are you getting caught up in this same thing for? Man, you're like a heretic. You give up, you renounce the faith of the fathers." Amen. You can say you're outcast. They may want to go back and stone them and say they're rebellious of father and mother. Mama, can't you see the 2 olive trees? Mama in Zechariah 4, can't you see it? Amen. They're only pointing it at them. Can't you see what Moses did, Mama? He turned the water into blood. Look what's happening. Don't study with the scientists and say the cataracts. It's nonsense. That's Moses. Hallelujah. He said, "Mama, can't you see Elijah standing in the air?" Amen. A lightning bolt is a prophet caught fire from heaven. Amen. Glory. They will make a stand for the word. They will see it being revealed before them. Many of them will give their life for it. When the Roman power began, that dragon began to spurt water out of his mouth, hunting them down. Then we have the commandments of Jesus and give you testimony. Commandments of God and give you testimony of Jesus. Is that right? Come and spurt water out of his mouth. The dragon that just kicked him in the flood. Persecutions. He said to my mom, I say, look him hiding under the bed here. Bringing this Jesus business in my house. In my kibbutz. Amen. Hallelujah. But if I did, they would not recant. They'll have the same faith you have. Glory. Because that word is going to put them in that same condition it put you in. They know they're going to be in that millennium. They're going to look back and see like themselves like Naomi and like Joseph's brother standing there. They're going to see it by revelation. They're going to, this is what Daniel talk about. This is no wild dream or no strange thing. This is where Daniel said, the wise will understand in the last days. Many shall be purified. They'll be tested by fire, but they shall stand. Amen. Hallelujah. They will know that is your place there. Glory. They're going to stand for that word. You watch and see. Amen. Brother, and we know they're going to stand. Because we know what the word says. Then when you look at and see the word for your time, the same message, and you can see over there what this same message is going to give them and make them stand against and do, why don't you let it do that for you right now? You believe it's going to make them do that. You believe they're going to overcome all them powers. You believe they would not bow down? The same message? If you, and they haven't heard it yet? And you've been here all these years? Then you can't believe it can make you do the same thing right now? In this hour? Purpose in your heart, amen. Hallelujah! We'll sing the victory song. Victory over the beast. Victory over the image. Victory over the number, amen. Hallelujah! Victory over death and hell and the grave! Victory over sickness, amen! Hallelujah! Victory over all these things! Glory be to God, amen! Hallelujah! If we see them doing it, and the same seven thunders that Daniel heard when Moses and Elijah began to bring forth that mystery of redemption under that seven trumpet, called among the Jewish traditions to recognize the true atonement, turn that Jewish nation upside down, pull out that elected from under Jezebel's influence out of Roman hands, shake up that Roman system, same way this message shake up these denominations and pull you out, get them all angry and everything else. Hallelujah! But you're fleeing to the wilderness, as it were, with the two wings of an eagle. You've been nourished here for time and half a time with spiritual food in due season. Hallelujah! Glory! It can stop you now? It's too far gone, amen! You're heading for glory! You're heading for glory! Hallelujah! Don't let the devil bluff you out of that! Know that God is taking you to heaven, amen! Right now you're on your journey! You're marching up the King's Highway! Glory! And you didn't even have to pay 1 cent. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Jesus paid it all. Glory. I have my token. I have the Holy Spirit. To show my fare has been paid. Ain't nobody going to get me off the ship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You say you're happy. I win more than the lottery. Amen. We have more than the lottery. You know, I win the papers, you have the money papers. I win the $1 million draw. Amen, brother. I win more than the $1 million draw. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Unsearchable riches. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Glory. Amen. Brother, when we think the privilege we have, I mean, look at last night. Yesterday we were in a nice atmosphere. You know, a new tabernacle. We come back and press the button this morning. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Oh my, but we press it, amen. But to go over the air and over the river. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, where to ring the golden bells for you and me. And every time I get under the Holy Spirit and this mystery begins to burn in my heart, I begin to hear them bells ringing. Oh, my, it rings. It's chiming so sweetly, Brother Edgar. Amen. I can hear it. Amen. I can hear the old song saying, coming home, coming home. Come home, it's supper time. Amen. The evening shadows are falling. Amen. I can see the light in the window. I can see the Father standing at the door. This world is a wilderness. But I'm ready for deliverance this morning. How about you, amen? How about you? How about you, children, amen? We are ready for deliverance. Let the Holy Spirit move to this place. Let Him break the shackles, amen? Let Him bring back the joy bells in our soul. Let Him put the extra spring in our step, amen? Let Him cause the shake of the mambas that are trying to suck our blood, amen? Let Him break them chains that the devil trying to bind us up with. All them Delilahs coming to shave off your virtue. Brother, shake them things off. Amen. Shake off them Philistines that are coming upon you. Oh my. This is the time when the Holy Spirit wants to do that for you, my friend. God wants to do that for you. When we can come and sit in His presence and know He wants to do that for us. He cares for us. He sees the affliction. He sees these things that we go through. He sees the situations. He sees what we're confronted with. He sees the trials that we have. He sees the oppositions. He sees the devil with his pitfalls and his snares. Set there. We didn't come out of this one good yet. And he set more for us. We're not come out of this one. Amen. But God sees it. Amen. Hallelujah. But he's come down, brother. Amen. At that time shall Michael stand, the great prince. Hallelujah. And all the names that are in the book shall be delivered. Not might be, not a wonder if there could be, shall be delivered. In Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. That's God's word. It cannot, it will not, it could never return unto Him void. Oh, brother, your trial just come to make you stronger, and He will make your trial a blessing. Amen. God will make your trial a blessing. Amen. He brought you to that place. He's going to make you an overcomer. Amen. He's going to show greatness inside of you. Oh, yes, I know it's weakening you. I know it's getting you down. Amen. I know it's having a confusion in your mind sometimes. But, brother, it's only that His strength might be perfected in you. Believe it. Amen. Don't let the devil make you doubt that this morning. Believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Devil trying to get among them husbands and wives. Bring all kind of contention, amen. But let them husbands just put your hand around them. They don't know you're praying for them. But just pray, oh God. The little girl is just a little nervous, amen. Just tense, Lord. Hallelujah. Pray a little more for your wife and what is going to happen, amen. Hallelujah. And them unsaved husbands, chaste conduct, corporate fear. The formula has not changed. Don't take no modern formula. Don't go by the neighbor. Amen. Don't go by the auntie. Amen, amen, amen. Go back to Ephesians 5. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Go back right here. Go back on your knees. Amen. Hallelujah. You watch and see revolution. You talk about revolution, not no failed revolution like Abu Bakr and them. Real revolution, amen. Going to deliver your home, amen, from the oppression of the enemy. Hallelujah. Oh, if you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out, amen. Catch you this morning while the Holy Spirit, amen, has visited us. Amen, while He's speaking to us. Didn't even let me get in my message, but He put that down inside of the air to let you know this church is a triumphant church. We ought to be a triumphant church. Strive to be a greater triumphant church. Oh my, I want to see men and women, I want to see young people inside of here this morning. Determined, amen. I'm determined, I made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. I ain't going back, amen. If I have to die, let me die here. Hallelujah. I ain't compromising one bit. Hallelujah. I'm going to drive my stake down here this morning. Amen. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. But it's time for us to throw back some cuffs. Don't take all the cards from the devil. Amen. Train for the knockout punch. Learn to trouble some too. Amen. The devil likes to dish it out, but he can't take it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hit him where it hurts, brother. You know what, the dead blow? Only believe. Only believe. Hallelujah. Only believe. Hallelujah. Take the word and hide it in your heart. Oh, my. And you watch and see. Well, no, it get all wrong your mind sometimes. And some of you ain't going so good, and then all these great deep things start to teach you. Now the devil say, now you see you're in no shape. And now you know, look at you. You can't even understand. You can't follow what's going on. Look where your mind is. Now you know you ain't making it. Say, you lie. Amen. God is more than able, and I'm willing to surrender, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to plant my stake down this morning, and I'm going to throw everything behind me, and I'm going to stop worrying and get ulcers in my stomach and feel sick. Amen. I'm going to believe God's word. I'll doubt my doubts. Amen. Hallelujah. Purpose in your heart. Like Daniel, purpose in your heart. Purpose in yourself. Amen. We can do it. Amen. We are determined to do it. We'll prove to the devil that God in us can do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Oh, I feel like singing some old-fashioned song. Amen. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. There's a power in praising God. Amen. There's a joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't let the devil steal your joy, children. Don't let him disarm you. Hold the sword and hold the shield. Amen. Buckle on the armor tighter. We're going to give the devil a run for his life. Amen. But let them Israelites draw the sword. Let's chase after them uncircumcised Philistines. Hallelujah. Let's drive them out of this church this morning. All them gossip spirits. All them lying spirits. All them confusion spirits. All them doubting spirits. Amen. Let's drive them out. Let's stand united. Let's stand together. Let's stand in one mind. Let's stand in one accord. Let the Holy Ghost move among us. Let the power of divine love sweep through this place. Let God fill our hearts. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost give us a fresh baptism. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name this morning. How great thou art. How wonderful. How precious. How lovely thou art, Lord. We appreciate you so much. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, we praise thee with joyful lips. Hallelujah. Praise him with joyful lips. Amen. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll praise the name.
Oh, there's power in that name. There's victory in that name.
Thank you.
arise and sing it again. He's lifting you up this morning. His preach word lifting you up. Feeling now with a little more purpose. In the kitchen and revival sweeping through the place, Lord, lifting the people up, giving supernatural strength to the weak, renewing the strength of the weary. Oh, pouring your oil and your wine, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh man, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We're going to call our brother Robert Hope to pray. Amen. Oh my friend, let believers, believers, eagles here, eagle to eagle, amen. I know many of you have needs here this morning. Amen, but we can sit right here where we are with faith connect. I believe we connected. I believe we're so connected right now. I believe the Spirit of God have us so linked up right now with omnipotence. We can flow right down through every link of that chain of love. Of the Redeemer. And we can feel that surge of the Holy Spirit coming to meet that need in our hearts right now. Let us just be so united in one mind and one accord. As our brother pray, let's have faith, let's believe, let's expect, let's receive. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank God you. Is here in this place.
Blessed be your name, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be your wonderful name, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your divine presence in our midst.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we know this is the purpose that you died on Calvary, Father.
Thank you.
To provide all these many blessings for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for the spirit of deliverance in our midst, Lord. Lord, in our hearts, we know we could never be the same again. Thank you for this another wave of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for divine revelation, Lord. We thank you that you have given us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying and a heart to gladly receive it, Lord. Make us more sincere, Lord Jesus. Keep us true and faithful to thee and thy word, dear God. Let this love that you have shed abroad in our hearts grow from strength to strength, Lord.
Yes.
From glory unto glory,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Continue to sweep over our souls,
yes,
O God.
Lord.
Lord, you are the great potter today. We are the clay, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Continue to melt us and mold us into your own image and likeness. Lord, we were glad when they said unto us, come to the house of the Lord.
Nice.
Lord, you have done for us today more than we could even ask or think of. Your ways are past finding out, Father. Lord, your unusual ways are so wonderful under us. We thank you for the light of your glorious gospel. Lord, help us never to be ashamed, Father. We thank you for your prophet that you sent in this age.
Jesus.
We thank you for the pillar of fire.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the message of seven thunders,
Hallelujah.
Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace.
Thank you,
we
Jesus.
Thank you for our pastor this morning, Lord.
God.
We thank you for every brother and every sister, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Have your wonderful way in all this, Lord.
Jesus.
Lord, as we are about to leave this place, Father, may we take the name of Jesus with us, Lord.
God.
May we continue to breathe it in prayer, Lord. Oh God, have your blessed way, Father. And Father, keep us humble in your sight. Help us to walk soft, Lord. Help us to be more in love with you and with each other. Keep us in one accord, Father. Let us have one mind and one faith. For you are our Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Let your will be done, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the praise. Lord,
Hallelujah.
The atmosphere is moisturized.
Oh,
Lord, let the
God.
Sick receive their healing, Father.
Hallelujah.
Let the sinner receive their salvation,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let the backslider receive reconciliation to
yes,
them.
Yes, Lord.
For your great Holy Spirit is here, Lord.
Thank
Lord
you,
God,
Jesus.
And with my heart, and I join my heart with my brothers and sisters to remember Brother John in a special way,
yes, Lord.
Oh, God, may this same inspiration, Father,
yes,
touch him
Lord,
from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Father
whole.
God, may you make him every bit whole. And we
God,
won't fail to give thee, Lord, all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. For all the honor and glory belong to you, Lord Jesus. Have your blessed way, Father.
Amen. Could you praise the Lord?
Amen.
For his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Blessed be his name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, see the bright light. It's just about home time. Amen. I can see my father standing in the door. But David's voice, I'd like to give praise and thanks for healing of his daughter from a damage. Ankle after prayer. So Betty John would like to thank the Lord for delivering her husband out of the coma. He's very weak. Still desire continuous prayer for total deliverance. He's already at work. Amen. The prayer just went forth. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. We had some visitors.
Amen.
Sister Brother Lindsay David bringing his friend and Sister Ayers a friend. May they really, I trust they felt welcome. I trust they felt blessed. I trust they go home encouraged. Amen. And may they feel free to come into our gates anytime the Lord will lead them. And they want to more about the message. We are free to take a little time and speak to them and help them whatever we can. Amen. Oh, see the bright light. Amen. Let's just sing.
River. was just asked to remind all the saints and believers about a meeting on Abel's Country Tuesday at 7 p.m. sharp. Amen. Try and come up early and just get in the atmosphere and under expectation. Amen. Let's just sing, "Isn't God Good to Give Us So Many Blessings?" Amen. You are dismissed this morning if you'd like to leave, but let's just stay behind and worship Him a little while. Amen. Let's clap our hands. Oh, isn't God good? Special request for Brother William Collett to step forward and sing for us this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
I took your love as a desperate measure, seeking shelter from a dark and lonely world. You gave your love beyond great God, I may know, Lord, the way, the truth, the light. Hallelujah! Praise the Savior. Christ is come. Hallelujah! Praise the Savior. Christ has come to show us the way. Mm-hmm.
give you praise. I give you glory. I lift you up, Lord, for all the world to see. I got your love beyond great measure, that I may know, Lord, the way, the truth, the life. Sing hallelujah. I give you praise. I give you glory. I lift you up, Lord, for all the world to see. I love your love. La la la. Of you, Lord, my life is now complete.
Dismissed this morning. As you go on your way, let's sing this chorus. Lord, anoint me more and more with overcoming inspiration. Seven powerful thundering voices shattering every strong temptation. Perfect strength and confidence is what my soul is longing for. Perfect strength by perfect weakness, Lord allow. Amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands and sing.
Oh Lord, anoint me more and more with overcoming inspiration. Tell the powerful thundering voices, shattering every strong temptation. Confidence, what my soul is longing for. Perfect strength and power.